Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Got a new rule. No more caffeine for Sarah in the morning. Decaf only.
That shouldn't be too hard around here not to get coffee.
I mean, I don't even know what was going on over there. We're just doing the top of the hour break of it. This is because I won't let you see Shannon Doherty's cleavage. That's why you're being so mean to me.
I think it's reversed. You're being mean to me.
All right. Matt, can you help a brother out here?
As the one that's smarter than the other two, I'm not getting involved in this.
Okay. All right.
So being completely out A and B conversation, seeing my way out of it.
Sarah and I will just unite later to rise up against you. So, all right. It's 503-250.
Wouldn't shock me at all, actually.
1080 in Portland at 1-800-737-5955. Rick, tell Kristen she can dress me up like John Cusack anytime she wants. That's from Scott. There you go. Let's see. People sending me the weirdest pictures of things today. You know, the worst thing we ever did was mention that maggot business the other day, because I just get pictures of maggots sent to me in the email all the time.
Speaking of pictures, aren't there new pictures up from the listener party?
Thank you, Tim Riley. What an excellent segue that is. You go to rickemerson.com right now. A, there's a great splash picture on the front there. The splash page, I don't even want to describe what it is. It's probably the best and funniest picture you're going to see all year. And then you go to rickemerson.com, you go to the inside section. There's like 75 of them or something. There's a whole passel of pictures from Listener Party 4 last Thursday. There's a bunch of pictures of the 1080 girls up there. It's also a picture of this other girl that we're going to talk about later on. We'll get to that.
No other girl.
How was that? That was a little creepy. So you go to that website right now. Go to rickemerson.com. There's a bunch of great pictures in the listener party. A bunch of pictures of cast and crew of the Rick Emerson Show, the 1080 girls, the low, the audience, Richard Cheese lounging against the machine. Bunch of stuff there. So go check out those pictures. They're all done. They're up. We want to thank Michael Hacker of Michael Hacker Photography, and also Kevin from Intercom Radio. Diana from Downtown took the majority of those pictures. They're those three people. So we thank you there. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800.
Kevin didn't take any pictures.
He really did.
Was Kevin there even?
Yeah. Well, he's the one who sent them to me. I know Richie didn't take, 'cause there's a bunch of pictures of Richie.
Yeah, but I think it was all Richie and Heather taking the pictures.
Really?
And then Kevin the camera and then sent them over to us. I don't even think Kevin was there.
Well, screw Kevin then.
It's all about Richie.
Kevin can pound it. Kevin can go to hell.
I don't know that I'd have gone that far, but
I guess it's Richie and Heather. Anyway, it doesn't matter. No one cares. Just go check out the pictures. It doesn't matter to them. At rickemerson.com. Coming up this hour, Jolie from the front desk with another edition of How Chicks Think. It's Glenn Frey's 55th birthday today, so coming up later on, we got today's top five Eagles songs of all time. We'll be looking through the new Playboy magazine. It's got the Shannon Doherty in it. Hey, also, we want to give it up to our friend Stan Kost. You may remember a while back, there was a guy, that was last year, a guy did a picture of me as a Simpsons character. Caricature. It's like me as a character on The Simpsons. At rickemerson.com, we had that as the opening shot on the webpage for a while. Stan Kost has an online comic strip called Joel and Steve. It's an online comic strip updated Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. There's a link to it at rickemerson.com in yesterday's weblog. It's kind of weird to see yourself animated as a 2D comic strip character, but... But it's pretty funny stuff, and so it occasionally features the occurrence of a certain local Portland radio talk show host. And I think Matt's in today,
and his
too.
Producer. Yeah.
And I think today's edition actually has Matt in it, too. So go to rickemerson.com and check that out. Here's Tim Riley. He's in the KOTK newsroom.
And now, it's not just news. It's news with Tim Riley, live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Iowa student university leaders have voted 21-9 to grant funds to a student organization that teaches bondage and sexual fetishes. The government of the student body gave $94 to the group called CUFS. Leaders of CUFS say they requested the money to promote the group and try to increase attendance at its meetings. CUFS was dissolved last year, but members are now trying to resume their meetings. The members do keep their clothes on during demonstrations. It's almost clinical, say they. Out of California, three high school students, a sophomore girl and two junior boys, have been expelled from an exclusive prep school in the Sepulveda Pass for allegedly making a sexually explicit video and distributing on school grounds. The video was made last spring when the girl was still a freshman. Parents and officials did not know that the video existed until one student told his parents about seeing a copy of it 10 days ago. While only a few students admitted to see the video, most students say they've heard of it. Parents said they and their children were upset about the revelations. One parent who asked not to be named said her son had shied away from telling her much about the film because he knew I would be horrified.
You know, this never happened at any of my schools. I never went to a high school where there was sex videos being made. The closest we ever got is it was like always some dude that had a ninth generation dub of Faces of Death that you'd watch on like a Friday night or something, and then you'd just turn it off after the monkey scene anyway. There was never any hardcore sex videos being made at my high school, and I was poorer for it. Kids today have all the advantages, man. It's so much better to, really, if you're, I'm not going to say that your teen years are the best time of your life. I am, however, going to say that this is like the best time to be to live in America. These are the new good old right now. This is the new golden age of America. It's just like lesbians and pornography, just as far as the eye can see, and we are better off for it. Here's Tim Riley.
Cameras were too big to fit bedrooms during my teenage years. You had to have all the lights, and you'd fry underneath them.
Even when the first handy cams came out when I was a kid, they were like the size of a mailbox. Remember, there was always like some kid. There was always some kid at your school, probably named Matt, who had his family had all the electronic devices. Like as soon as they came out, had the first VCR, the first video camera, the first whatever. You know, what's this? It's a Betamax recorder that you could. And there was always some guy that had a home video camera, and they were just huge. They were like the size of those ones that the guys from Channel 12 towed out to the news shoots now. They were always just gigantic. And they'd have to set aside like some whole special taping area at the high school graduation. It was just this forest of gigantic home cameras. So, we've really come a long way there in this surreptitious taping of homemade pornography.
Yeah, we actually bypassed the big VHS tape. We went right to the little Sony Handycam with the video 8s.
Yeah, thank you.
The ordinance enforces lap dancers to stay 6 feet from customers and bans private VIP rooms continues to be a thorn in the side of L.A. City Council members. Steve Afriant represents a group of adult club owners who raised $400,000 to fight that ordinance and says most of the neighborhoods don't mind the clubs.
We think most people want the businesses there. Even people that don't like those businesses think that the city council has more important things to do than worry about whether or not someone's inside a closed facility having a lap dance.
Seriously, especially because, and I don't know if this is absolutely true, but CNN reported last night that it's actually going to cost them $2.5 million to have the election to whether or not to ban lap dances. So in a state that's already financially strapped and undergoing all kinds of problems, not least of which because there's a fire that just destroyed everything in its path, they're going to have to pay $3 million to decide whether some guy can go in and get his grind on with some hoe.
Time for a double snuff watch.
Here's your double snuff watch. Just turn the Dry County Crooks.
Bobby Hatfield of the Righteous Brothers is dead. Bill Medley is taking Bobby Hatfield's death very hard. Their manager says Medley was so broken up he's not even coherent. The two performed as the Righteous Brothers for 40 years. Imagine that. When Medley had the deep voice, it was Hatfield who hit the high notes on songs like Unchained Melody. The Righteous Brothers were going to perform last night in Kalamazoo. Half an hour before showtime, Hatfield's body was found in a hotel room. An autopsy will be performed to see why he died. Hatfield, 63 years old. They're credited with starting the sound known as Blue-Eyed Soul, and Hatfield told AP News he found the description goofy. Hatfield and Medley were inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 8 months ago. And those songs are like the most played songs on radio.
Unchained Melody, I think, is actually... Is it Unchained Melody?
I think it's Unchained Melody.
It's the most played song in the history of radio broadcast, followed by Yesterday by the Beatles and something else that didn't make any sense. I read a list the other day. I'd do it as a top five if I had the entire. If somebody's some radio geek out there has got like that top five, you know, let me know. But I mean, I read somewhere the top five most played songs in the history of the radio format. Number one was Unchained Melody. Number two was Yesterday by the Beatles. And number three was something terrible. It was like that Irish song by the Goo Goo Dolls or something. It was something ridiculous. But the other song is, is it Soul and Inspiration? Is that the Righteous Brothers? You're my soul. You're my soul and my life's inspiration. That's a great song. That's good stuff. God, they've just been performing together forever, too. I mean, it's been out there, I mean, just touring. Those are the guys that could tour forever just on those songs. And Unchained Melody, I'm pretty sure it's Unchained Melody I'm thinking of, that's got, I mean, it's a pretty, structurally, it's a pretty amazing song, too, because it's got a non-repeating melody, and it's got that huge, booming, gigantic vocal sound. I mean, it's just an impressive song in every sense of the word, so that's terrible.
Part 2.
I was just thinking out loud.
All right, I'm sorry. You had your microphone off in mourning.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
John Ritter's death is doing wonders for the ratings of a sitcom. More than 20 million people tuned in to see the episode when John Ritter's character died. That's the sitcom's biggest audience ever. And the biggest audience for any ABC sitcom since Michael J. Fox said goodbye to Spin City. Is he still alive?
Michael J. Fox?
Yeah.
Yeah, but
whatever happened to him?
I don't know. I saw him the other day, and he was doing some sort of a thing. He was doing like a little press thing or a commercial, and that was sad. He had the full-on like trembling and everything going on.
Yeah, he hasn't aged gracefully.
No.
Nearly 33 million people watched the episode when Michael J. Fox said goodbye. And that's today's Snuff Watch.
There's your Snuff Watch on the Rick Emerson Show. We've got this. Rick, I realize this is old news, but the other day you were discussing the amount of alcohol consumed by your interns from WSU. The term you used was square liters, which we all realize is just DJ gibberish, but you're lovable enough that we forgive you. The correct measurement term for the amount of beer alcohol consumed by a WSU student in any given term is acre feet, or the amount of liquid required to cover 1 acre of surface 1 foot deep in liquid. The measurement term is confined to the irrigation industry. As in, boy, those WSU kids could consume a tub of alcohol equaling Banks Lane after a big win over the Huskies. As if that will ever happen again. Anyway, there you have it. I've been able to post lately because I'm running a new bus line full of future Rick listeners. He drives a school bus, which should make us all feel good about the safety of our chillin'. I'd requested the change because the middle and high schoolers weren't tuned into the happenings on your show so much, so I'm now doing kindergarten through sixth grade. I think the demo skews in your favor with this bunch. Your faithful listener, James. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Let's see what's on TV tonight. Crime scene cleanup, homicides, accidents, and suicide remnants.
Yeah, don't miss that, whatever you do.
And that's on right after Wild Asia, which presents blue sheep engaging in courtship battles. Tonight at Oregon Field Guy, they feature jellyfish. And on Skin, Adam arranges to meet Jewel at a conference honoring his father. On biography, it's Tom Selleck, More Than Magnum. The Shawshank Redemption is on tonight, as it always is.
Shawshank Redemption, which is on somewhere at any given point. I mean, you can just pick a random date and time on the clock and calendar, and it's going to be playing on either TNT or WTBS. It's also coming up, by the way, it's Shawshank Redemption. Frank Darabont, who directed that, they're putting out a new DVD of that. Because you get the DVD of Shawshank Redemption right now, and it doesn't really have any extras on it. I think it's got the trailer, and that's about it. But that's a movie that really found its audience on video in the home market. And they're going to be putting out a sort of a collector's edition of that has outtakes and deleted scenes and a full-on commentary. So you want to be watching the stores for that.
So you might want to watch it tonight because it might not be on tomorrow. You have to wait night. I think it's in rotation with Pauly Shore movies.
It might be at least a day before you can watch it, yeah.
What else is on tonight? They took Little House on the Prairie off of Hallmark Channel and replaced it with Bonanza. But it's a good one tonight. Huss is temporary sheriff in a lawless town. Don't miss that. Dennis the Menace with Walter Matthau and Mason Gramble. Also, Big. Wow, this movie is 15 years old.
Big with Tom Hanks?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm old.
15 years old.
All right.
And you also did Encircle Backdraft, which is a fantastic movie with Kurt Russell.
I got the biggest fight with somebody the other day about whether Backdraft. Well, I got into two fights. First, I got into a fight with somebody specifically about the movie Backdraft. I have a friend of mine who uses Backdraft as the benchmark for bad films. He and his friends actually refer to bad films as a backdraft. I don't want to start any unpleasantness, but I was talking to, Joni, who's directed a one-man show and, is very knowledgeable about films and has good taste in several things. But she was making some cutting remark about how Kurt Russell is a bad actor, and there's no way or universe in which Kurt Russell is a bad actor. Kurt Russell has chosen some projects poorly. He's been paired up with bad directors, Paul Anderson. And he's perhaps been ill-guided on some of his career decisions. But he was, of course, the lead actor in the greatest Western, of the last 15 years that isn't Unforgiven. He was also Snake Plissken. So anybody who wants to talk smack about Kurt Russell can just back the hell up. Hey, can I just see that TV tonight for a second? I want to check on something.
Let me just check to see if they're... Should we talk about Friends and guest star Greg Kinnear?
Well, before we do that, okay, let me just say this, by the way. I'm looking at, and this is today's paper. This is the Oregonian, this is page E8, Thursday, November 6, 2003. Guess what it says is on Channel 12, Fox, KPTV, tonight at 9 o'clock.
I don't know.
Yeah, Skin is apparently on tonight at 9 o'clock. Now, listen to how many ways they're screwing me here. Let me just list to you the various facets of the big screwing diamond that I'm being given by Fox. Fox, of course, just canceled Skin after 3 episodes, which would be akin to canceling this show after, like, 2 weeks on the air. That'd be like giving us 2 weeks to come on and do our thing and then just blowing us out based on that. The show hadn't even found its groove, hadn't found its niche yet. So they canceled the show. That's the first thing. Second thing is they're replacing it with reruns of Joe Millionaire. That's the second thing right there. So they're taunting us by continuing to run it, though, right? So they've got one more episode on tonight. So they've got what I'm presuming is going to be the final episode of Skin ever aired. I mean, I can't imagine they're going to put any more on. So this is ostensibly the last episode of Skin they're ever going to air. Yeah, it's a rerun. Thanks for that. Thanks. You decided to drag it out and actually show, you know, the program one more time. You couldn't possibly show a new one. No, just, you know, pick one of the 3 episodes I've already seen and just rerun that again. Thanks a lot. I'm glad you could help out.
Well, Greg Kinnear guest stars as Dr. Benjamin Hobart, a Nobel Prize-winning scientist who's offering a paleontology grant to Ross. Who came up with this storyline? Greg explains his role in the episode and how he snags Ross's girlfriend.
I play Dr. Benjamin Hobart, who is a paleontologist who is offering a grant. And up for that grant is Dr. Ross Geller. And what he finds out is Charlie, his girlfriend, and I are old flames. And there's trouble coming.
So he's got to jump the shark.
Now Greg Kinnear's still alive then.
Greg Kinnear is still alive.
That goes against all the... I thought he just wound up at the bottom of a river somewhere. I haven't seen that guy forever.
Say, Greg, did Later with Greg Kinnear start the same year as Friends?
Yes, but they were successful. That was one of the differences of the two shows. They started in, I guess, wasn't it 93? Yeah, 93, 94? Yeah, so Later was on... Later started in 1993, and we lasted till 94. So we had that going for us. They're still here a decade later. I think that speaks for itself.
He's good at math.
Greg Kinnear's one of those guys. I mean, I like the guy. He's, you know, he's got a kind of a charisma, but he's just so insufferably bland. I mean, he's an okay actor and everything, but I mean, he's just so unbelievably bland as a person. He's one of those guys that just... I mean, I think he's kind of the definition of just sort of a good-looking pretty boy that kind of just tripped his way into Hollywood, but I don't know.
I mean, he may end up, you know, hosting AM Northwest or something like that. He'd be perfectly happy sitting there for 30 years. Nobody would notice.
Let's talk to our good friend Paul, who some of you more than others, may remember as the kissing booth from the listener party last Thursday. Paul from the Dry County Crooks, whose new CD, The One That Got Away, is out now. Paul, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, Ray?
How you doing, brother? So we're digging your new CD. You dropped it off a couple days ago. We've been playing it every day. That new CD is fantastic.
Oh, man, I'm so glad you guys like it, and I so appreciate the love that you've been putting out. It's just amazing. I appreciate it so much.
So where can you buy that somewhere?
Yeah, you know, things were messed up for a little while. We had to get some stuff reprinted, and so we didn't actually have the CDs until the day of the release party. Didn't have them in hand,
mm-hmm.
But they're now available on the website. It is updated. You can get them at drycountycrooks.com, and we have them at Ozone Records, Second Ave, and Everyday Music.
All right, so Ozone Records, Second Ave Records, and Everyday Music?
That's right.
All right, and drycountycrooks.com, is that you can buy it there, too?
You can.
All right, so we got people listening to us in all different parts of the country, so drycountycrooks.com. Excellent. Good stuff.
That's right.
We got to get you guys in studio one of these days. We're going to have you guys come in and play sometime.
What sucks is we're all tied down to day jobs. It's so difficult.
Screw the man. We're talking about rock and roll, man.
That's what I'm saying, man. You know what? We really should talk about trying to do that.
Yeah. All right. So there you go.
I'm not opposed to that one bit.
All right. If it makes you feel good, and I can't imagine why it wouldn't, I got many, many, many effusive reviews of your kissing ability, by the way, after you came to the listener party's kissing booth.
That was so funny when it was brought up the day after the party.
Yeah.
I'm a delivery driver, and I was in Eugene that day where you're just about out of listening range. So I've got a crank listening through static, and I'm picking up bits and pieces. But I had all sorts of friends report to me later what had been said. And that's funny, man. That thing is the best icebreaker of all time.
Dude, I don't know why nobody's ever thought of that before. I guarantee you, next Halloween is going to be like 50 people coming as a kissing booth.
Well, you know, I didn't think of it either, though. Somebody left it at a girl's girl who I work with, this girl I work with, somebody left it at her house last year when she had a Halloween party. I cashed in on it.
Yeah. No, it worked out well. It shamed me. All right, there you go. There's Paul from the Dry County Crooks. Their new CD, available at Everyday Music and Ozone Records, as well as DryCountyCrooks.com. We'll be back. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. The CD's called The One That Got Away. Here's the Dry County Crooks. It's a Rick Emerson Show.
Talk 1080 KOTK.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
1:31, I'm Tim Riley. The Matrix Revolutions won't be complete without the return of the slow-talking ex-agent Mr. Smith, Hugo Weaving. He says he really loves playing Mr. Smith. Hugo Weaving?
I've always loved playing dark characters. He's a very dark character. But I always thought he was funny. Whenever I'm on set, again, I always have to say when I'm on set, because most of the time I'm not. When I'm on set as Smith, or dressed up as Smith, or invading Smith, or whatever, I enjoy myself enormously. And so the experience of being Smith, or playing Smith, or has been that. I've felt it's been quite playful.
Talk about the super brawl between Mr. Smith and Neo.
The super brawl essentially is between one Smith and Neo, with all the other Smiths that were made for that particular scene standing on and watching, like a kind of football crowd in the street. And super brawl takes place in the street, in the air, and then in a building, and then in a crater. So it has four sections to it.
Well, thanks for that complete answer. Part of the metro forecast, mostly sunny this afternoon, highs in the 50s, cloudy tonight, lows in the 30s. Tim Riley of the KOTK Newsroom, live around the world at KOTK.com, made possible by a budget computer, home of the $200 laptop.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, now the ugliness begins. I mean, now everybody's turning on me. Okay, first of all, we've got several people in a row now emailing me. At no point did I claim that Kurt Russell was in Unforgiven. Unforgiven is quite obviously a Clint Eastwood movie. What I said was, I actually didn't even say Tombstone. What I said, we were talking about Kurt Russell, and I was talking about my friend Joni taking pot shots at Kurt Russell being, quote, a wooden cardboard cutout of an actor, which I think is actually how she phrased it. I'll find the actual phrasing in a second. But I said that Kurt Russell, if nothing else, was the star of the best Western of the last 15 years that's not Unforgiven, meaning that Tombstone is the best Western of the last 15 years. That's not Unforgiven.
Because it's Unforgiven, not Unforgiven?
Yeah, because Unforgiven is... I got mad love for Tombstone, but I'm saying Unforgiven is the superior film, and an Academy Award-winning film, by the way. So, and I think that was what Tombstone was like... Unforgiven was like, 89, 90, something like that. So, yeah. So that was the comment I was making. I said that Kurt Russell was the star of the best Western of the last 15 years that's not Unforgiven, which is still true. Let's see. But just so I can be correct, though. And then we're going to move on from the unpleasantness of the Kurt Russell discussion. We got this. Okay, this was the actual statement. Quote, Kurt Russell is a no-talent cardboard cutout of an actor only slightly less compelling than Kevin Costner. But then, listen to how it just gets worse
less
and worse.
Less compelling than Costner.
Just listen to this, though. But I'm willing to accept the fact that maybe he was passable in that Tombstone movie. I wouldn't know. I haven't actually seen Tombstone. Ah, and she puts it in and twists it. There you go. Filmmaker. Film director. Artiste. Hasn't seen Tombstone. What are you going to do? There's just no... I mean,
You can't ever call him wooden after the whole scene on the train station on the dock.
No, there's no way that...
I'm coming.
Hell's coming with him.
Me. Come on.
Hell is coming with him. You don't understand. All right, never mind. I'm not going to dwell. All right, speaking of bad wooden acting, Clyde's going to review the new Matrix film here in a short while. Clyde just saw Matrix Revolutions last night. He apparently gives it a big thumbs up, but we'll find out more about that. So Clyde's opening words to me were, screw the critics, Matrix rules. That was Clyde's statement. So we'll get more from that. We're going to talk about this mystery girl, too, that's in these the pictures from last week's listener party. If you go to rickemerson.com right now, all these people... are checking, and right, we got guys asking why they can't get onto the website like this one. Rick, the website appears not to be in service. What gives? It's just because of this. There's such a huge demand to see pictures of the 1080 girl. I'd like to say that it's because, like, pictures of me, the people are wanting to see, but that's not so much the case. Like, hey, Rick, after opening a few pics of the party, I cannot get a displayed page when I try to open them. What's up? Keep up the good work, listener John. It's because there's just endless photographs of Kristen groping Glory's bosoms. And so as a result, it's a little difficult to get the picture to open, you know, correctly because there's too many people trying to see them at once. Rick, please, God, please, 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 let the girl, the mystery girl you were talking about, be the woman in the Wonder Woman outfit. Sweet Jesus. P.S. F. Matt with an invisible plane.
This F. Matt is brought to you by EditHere.com.
Now there's a mystery girl whose identity we can't quite pin down, and we're going to try to get a handle on that. Later on. So we're also going to talk to Clyde. We also got today's top five.
There's some speculation that she may be the fourth sister from the Grace, Glory, Hannah, we never
and
met,
Liz. Really?
Maybe she's Liz.
God couldn't be that kind to me.
Because she was hanging out with Glory all night long.
So, yeah, that's not really an exclusive club of people.
Though I realize that. I'm just saying.
The list of people that were hanging out with Glory.
If you look at Glory and you look at her.
Which I have done frequently.
Okay.
Sometimes
so
in that order, sometimes not.
There appears to be a lot of similarities. You
yeah.
Know,
I see two similarities right off.
Well, I don't know that she's the fourth sister. I'm just saying.
You're such a guy.
I wasn't the first one to make the suggestion.
I can't really claim to be something other than what I am. What? I am sleazy. What are you going to do? So we're going to try to track her down later and find out what that is. Rick, what the hell was Matt supposed to be dressed up as? I thought his mommy-wommy was making his a little costume. Actually, he says whittle costume. Or did he just dress up as a spoiled bastard? Also, Sarah's costume kicked ass. She really went all out with it and it looked great. Go, Jim. Todd, F. Matt with a silver spoon in his mouth.
This F. Matt is brought to you by EditHere.com.
Matt wasn't dressed up at all.
I'll come to your defense. In Matt's defense, I saw Matt's costume later. Matt was running behind where there were some technical issues to deal with. You may have been able to tell from the gigantically overpowering and flawless sound of the Tim Riley Factor, when we played the Gene Simmons song, we were dealing with some technical issues. There was a box of equipment that went missing at the last moment, and so Matt was going with the definition of above and beyond the call to assemble a sound system that would work for our purposes there. So Matt, in
minus
his
about
own
half
defense,
the equipment he needed, so
Matt pretty much made something out of nothing there. I mean, Matt essentially built a nuclear reactor out of some, you know, paper clips and string that night. So he didn't have a chance to put the costume on. I saw the costume. I saw it in the truck later. If it makes you feel better, we're going to force Matt to dress up in that costume for whatever the next listener event is. I don't care if it's at a drapery store. Doesn't matter whether, you know, we're giving away Twinkies at a supermarket. We're going to make Matt wear that costume. I did see Matt's costume. It was great. He will wear it at some listener event in the future. Rick.
Next year's Halloween party. See, if I save it, I've already got my costume done.
Yeah. Let's see. Coming up later on, we got Jolie from the front desk, and we've got today's top five. We've got top five Eagles songs of all time. That's coming up, as well as Clyde's review of The Matrix. I hold in my hands, by the way, though, this month's Playboy. I hold the new Playboy magazine in my hands, which is, I can now, let me now open it. There's no better feeling, by the way, than, you know, there's no better feeling.
Ripping open that plastic.
You rip open that plastic, you pull the Playboy magazine out before you even open it. Because that's the thing, is once you open it, you know, then it's like, it's okay, but that, you know, but the mystery's sort of ruined. You know, you open the Playboy and it's like a world of, this is where one thing about men that, you know, just never changes. You never age in this regard. But you hold the Playboy magazine in your hand, you look at the front cover, you kind of got, it's kind of got that magazine smell on it, you know, that mix of like paper and sort of like the perfume samplers or whatever inside. And you haven't opened it yet. And inside this could lie a bounty of riches beyond your wildest imaginings. So we're going to open that just a second and see what Shannon Doherty looks like. On line one, it's one of our lovely 1080 girls, Glory.
Hi, Rick.
How are you, Glory? What's up with you, sister?
Nothing. I just wanted to call to say that beautiful girl is not my missing sister.
Okay, so the girl we're talking about, and let me be a little clearer here. Let me go to my website. The girl that we're talking about is, she's got medium length blonde hair. She's got kind of a taupe colored dress, right?
It was actually like blue and kind of tan, and maybe like it seems like a darker blue or a black kind of striped sort of,
yeah,
dress
thing.
Yeah, she was
looking for a safari look or something.
Yeah, she was. Yeah, it was sort of like a tiger stripe pattern, but it was like blue and brown sort of. She was off to the right of the stage the whole night, giving serious, I think what we could safely call doomy eyes to Richard Cheese for most of the night, and then was kind of dancing with you guys later on. And the whole night, Matt and I are just going like, who is that girl? We couldn't figure out, you know, it's like, who is that chick? And then she shows up in like 10 different photographs, but no one knows who she is. So we're kind of trying to track her down because we're big fans of hers.
Well, I asked her name and she said, you know, obviously I had plenty to drink, but I think she said her name was either Autumn or Summer.
Well, there was, our friend Autumn was there. Autumn, the Princess of Porn, was there. But that's not her.
No, I'm pretty sure that's what she said. Well, maybe.
Well, I mean, I know
exactly who you're talking about.
I'm not ruling out that there's another Autumn.
Her name was
though.
The Season.
Yeah, I'm not ruling out that there was another girl named Autumn. It's entirely possible. So I don't know. What I'll do is I'll kind of isolate one of those photos. We'll put it in the weblog there, and then we'll try to figure out who it is.
Well, she was a fan of the show. I thought, why doesn't she call?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe she's trying to play hard to get.
Yeah.
I got nothing. Hey, okay. Hey, by the way, Kristen wants me to thank you for the groping.
No, I want to thank Kristen, and I hope I wasn't too assertive.
Who was groping? Who started the groping? Was it you that started groping her, or?
You know, I think, you know, I'd like to play pretend, but I think it was my fault. I think I was the first. But it's hard to say because she did come up to me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, she didn't seem to be resisting. She didn't seem to be resisting a whole lot.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, look at me. I mean, I could have taken her easily.
It's completely true. You should
not that big.
You should just do that next time.
No, you know, yeah, give me a little more. No. I might.
All right, excellent. There you go. There's Glory, one of our lovely 1080 girls. All right. We come back. We got Jolie from the front desk at Out Chicks Think. We'll take a look at this the Shannon Doherty layout in Playboy. Coming up later on, review of Matrix Revolutions from Clyde Lewis and today's top five Eagle songs of all time. Stay there. We'll be back.
Portland. It's Rick Emerson only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. It's the Rick Emerson Show. All right, we've got Clyde Lewis coming up later on. He'll be reviewing Matrix Revolutions for us. And Jolie from the front desk going to join us here in just a few for another exciting edition of How Chicks Think. We'll also be posting a picture, within the next 10 minutes or so of the listener party mystery girl. There's a great shot, by the way, of her and Glory and Kristen. All kind of, they look sort of like conjoined triplets or something. All sort of joined at the waist. So we're going to talk about that later on. All right, so I've got this month's Playboy here. It's got Shannon Doherty in the front, and it's got Shannon Doherty in this like towering Amazon woman pose, by the way, which I can say right now I'm a big fan of. So let's see, where is that? Oh my God, do you know who this month's Playboy interview is? John Cusack, ladies and gentlemen. I wonder if they ask him about the Britney in there. All right, I'm trying to, you know, they make Playboy so hard just to flip through, just to get to the good stuff. Ah, there we go. All right, hold on. So
wasn't it page 168? Isn't that what it said?
I don't know. I threw away the wrapper. Yeah, here we go. Shannon Doherty, Hollywood's hottest drama queen, has nothing to hide. All right, so, okay. All right. Oh, that's a good one. Ooh, I like that. Yeah, these are some good photographs. Yeah, it's topless only, but that's okay. I'll accept that. Yeah. All right, here's one of her underwater in a swimming pool. That's very nice. Kind of a Jennifer Connelly. Ah, look at that. Now that's a good photograph. That's a dirty little girl right there. There's a picture of Shannon Doherty laying on some sort of, it looks like she's in the back of some guy's Econoline van. She's in the back of some date rape van. And see, this is the best kind of photograph. See, note to women out there who are interested in taking nude photographs.
Take pictures
of
in the
themselves.
Back of a date rape van? No, is that your advice?
You didn't let me finish the freaking statement. She's not nude. She's got her undergarments on. Her undergarments are on, but they're just sort of pulled down and yanked askew, you know, a little bit. So it's like a flash sort of a thing, as opposed to just sort of being nude. It's like she's, sort of like in mid. It's like mid or pre quickie or something. Yeah, that's good stuff. All right. Oh, and there's twins, and right there the centerfold is twins. I think this month. Excellent. It's good stuff all the way around. All right. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show for another exciting edition of How Chicks Think. Our good friend Jolie from the front desk. How are you?
What?
I say, how are you?
I'm quite offended by that.
By what?
I can't believe you have that real magazine sitting in here showing naked photos.
Well,
I'm offended.
Like you've never seen boobs before. What is that? What?
Not in your presence,
I don't Rick. Really. I don't really understand why it is. Look, here's the thing. If a woman came in and I was waving around some picture of a guy's wang or something, I'm waving around a penis or something, I can understand that. It will never make sense to me why women are so offended by seeing stuff that you really shouldn't be offended by since you see it all the time. God forbid you go to...
Because it's someone else's.
Are you offended when you go to a locker room? You know, like you're at the gym and you have to see another woman nude? Are you offended?
It's
you
very uncomfortable, yes.
You file a lawsuit over it?
No, Rick.
Well, then
this is not the gym, nor the locker room, nor do we get naked in here,
not,
Rick.
It's not third grade either. Grow up. Jesus.
People have been naked in here many times.
Seriously.
Really.
I mean, you're right. We're not in women's studies class anymore.
It's you Googling over a woman's...
You know, I have it. You know, like, that's going to happen whether the magazine's in here or not. You know, as long as I got an imagination and a functioning brain
stem, I don't want to look at it.
The ogling's going to happen. So, but you know, you're free to turn your back, sister. And nobody.
The mic doesn't turn around, Rick.
Nobody makes you come in. You got a phone. Nobody makes you come in here. All right. All right. So I'm going to leave the name off this one as we often do. We had another question we were going to get to, but we bumped it till tomorrow because the guy who the question is about couldn't be on with us. So, but we've got this one. This one came to us from, I'll just give his initial. I'll say it's from Jay. He said, I have a question for the Harpy, and then parenthetically, Jolie. And he says, there's a girl that I've been seeing for a little while. Seeing is kind of an overstatement. We've been sleeping together off and on for about a month and a half. I don't really think it's a big thing. We talk a little bit before and after, but it's not like I've learned the names of her parents or anything like that. I don't really think it's all that serious. But the last time, after we were done, she turned to me after the sex was over and said, while looking into my eyes, I think I'm falling in love with you.
Why are you laughing?
And then he says, is this just the endorphins talking, or do I need to run for the door? What does this really mean? And he says, your pal, Jay. There you go.
Wow.
Well, I got the answer right now. I can either answer it.
Yeah, Jay, don't forget what you're talking about.
Don't forget your toothbrush when you leave, buddy.
Yeah, I was going to say, take your keys and try not to leave any articles of clothing or record albums there, because you're never going to get them back. And here's what's going to happen. This is going to be a thing where Jolie spends 4 or 5 minutes just rambling on, and then I'm going to give you what the actual answer is. So you go ahead.
Yeah, like you ever give me 4 or 5 minutes to talk.
I'm just going
to
sit here and look at Shannon Doherty's breasts.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, so, you know, there's love, and, I mean, there's sex, and with women, you know that women are always, you know, not all women, but mostly...
Who's the centerfold this week?
The woman. Shut up!
Some twins.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to come over there and rip that out of your hands and burn it up.
I'm just listening. Go ahead.
You totally made me forget what I was going to say.
Okay, can I move on to the actual?
No. Okay, so the woman usually is looking for a relationship or some sort of emotional connection. So,
twins, blonde or brunette?
Shut up, Matt.
I think they're Latin. Yeah, she's, I'm listening.
You're totally ruining this for me.
Uh-huh.
She's confused because, you know, when women get in a relationship, I mean, there's already all these feelings going on in the first place. Then when you add sex on top of that, you know, you can't, sometimes you can't tell what's real, if you're really feeling this or if it's just, you know, it's just confusing for her. And so she's kind of saying this so that, because she has a hard time being really direct about her feelings if she really, truly is in love with him.
Yeah.
You know, because I guess they aren't really talking a lot about it. Mm-hmm. But you know, she's probably a little bit of afraid of what he might say if he doesn't agree with her that she really likes.
No, I can't agree.
Rick, God. You know.
Uh-huh. Okay. Are you done?
No. So basically... Okay. You know, she's saying that to get him to say something, you know, that he likes her a lot and that he wants, you know, she's basically
so
looking for kind of a commitment, you know?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Yeah, that's what I said.
You suck, dude. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What if I came over there and pushed all those buttons?
No, I agree totally. I'm sorry, what?
I'll give
you the real answer after this. All right, we'll be back.
Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.